Well, good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
State College is on. Tammy, Nanette, Jim, Brody, Steve.
Okay.
How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Good.
So,
we had our 2020 kickoff meeting with our complex this morning.
Well, good. How did it go?
Oh, great.
What was the theme?
The theme was net acquired assets, utilizing the metrics for financial planning, and what was the third item?
Modern wealth management.
Yeah, modern wealth management.
And how do you differentiate modern wealth management from ancient wealth management?
Modern wealth management is basically a different name for asset aggregation.
Okay.
Planning, aggregating assets.
Yeah, looking for assets that are held away in the planning process. And then we have an asset aggregation tool, which is now being called modern wealth management, right? I mean, what's it called? Tammy, what do you guys need to do? What's that called?
It's the asset aggregation. What do they call it? Wealth
total
field?
Wealth.
Total wealth.
Yeah, total wealth.
Which?
Modern wealth incorporates everything online, electronic, planning, all of it kind of more modern versus how it was done in the past, where everything was kind of done individually.
E-authorization, e-everything, MSO, which is Morgan Stanley Online.
So what do you think, based on that model, would be your biggest challenge to reach whatever goals the region or the market has?
Older
client base.
Yeah, we have an older client base. We have clients that don't have the ability to get online. They don't have a computer, or they're not. Mm-hmm. But what is changing in the world is that more and more people, more and more of our clients, even the older clients, are starting to utilize the internet. They're getting iPhones. But I think that's probably our biggest challenge. Having them utilize things like e-authorization, e-sign.
Having them manually input their outside 401k versus just giving you an statement so we can, have an updated balance every day. For planning purposes, those things aren't easy sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So
the ultimate goal is to have a plan for every client.
Sounds like Supernova.
Yeah.
I think the 12-4-2 model can work really nicely into that by creating your customized agenda, but having your 24-month calendar, which brings us right into today's lesson. Somebody is shuffling papers, and it's making it hard to hear.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Okay. Anyway, it brings us to our major theme for today, which is the 24-month calendar. What are your thoughts on that? What did you think of it, watching the video, et cetera?
I think it's a good idea. I like the idea. I like having a purpose, with each month and with each call. versus just making a phone call.
Right. Yeah.
I think the hard part will be trying to get clients that aren't accustomed to that process to change. But once the change has been made, I think it will be a lot better going forward.
Right. Well, change is hard, and change takes in order for them to understand what it is you're doing and why you're doing it, you always have to focus on them and what's in it for them and why would they do it? How are they going to be better off? Not, I want to call you every month because I want to sell you something, or I want to call you every month because it's part of my program. Why are we going to call you every month, and what is that going to do for you and make your life better? So whenever you're selling Supernova, make sure that you're selling benefits, not features. That goes back to our old selling skills days. But I find that when FAs are just explaining the program, they don't bother to tell people what's in it for them. They expect them to be able to figure out, oh, if he calls me more, I'm going to be better informed, better educated. It's more personalized. It's more structured for me. He's going to know me better. Therefore, my problems, my solutions will be more easily achieved, and my problems will be fewer. So that's what you really have to remember in selling clients anything, but particularly something sort of new like this that's going to mean a change in their life and, frankly, how they see you many times. Because, you know, I always tell people they have you in a box, and whatever that box is probably the same box as when you started with them. So you may be their stock guy or their bond guy or their municipal bond guy or, you know, the guy that did this for them or that or the new guy or whatever it is. So one of the things you got to do is kind of reintroduce yourself and share with them the benefits of what Supernova will do for them. So one of the ways to do that is to actually create this 24-month calendar and then send them the first 12 months. So along with their dates of when they're going to have their calls. That way they can plan ahead. They know when their calls are going to be, and they also can have a good idea as to what you're going to talk about on each of those calls. So that's become the new best practice. We used to just do it for you guys, but a lot of teams like to share it with their clients to the point where we made it a best practice. And I think that what that will do also for your team is to keep you on in the program rather than having the calendar somewhere and then not adhering to it. So I think if you send it out to them, that sort of sets you up just like, hey, I'm going to call you every month. And then you have to do it, actually. And then this is the same thing. I'm going to call you every month, but we're going to talk about different educational topics that are really going to be very relevant for you and your family. All of a sudden, they're like, oh, wow, okay, this could be good. So it's, see how that will work on your behalf?
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I think sharing it with the client's a good idea. I think we do, you know, we do most of this anyway. You know, we obviously do, you know, RMDs. We do tax selling and tax harvesting at the end of the year. So, you know, some of these things are, you know, obviously are being done. They're just not put forth in the form of a calendar you know, that, okay, in the month of March, we're going to talk about your annuity review, you know.
Right.
And I'm assuming we can juggle this, you know, our month's calendar to fit, you know, our practice, right?
Right. And you might want to, you know, that annuity review is probably not the term to use. It's probably something like beneficiary, you know, beneficiary review, meaning we're going to cover, make sure that your all your beneficiaries are right, including annuities, insurance, trusts, et cetera.
Sure.
Yeah. So you can juggle these. You can make them anything you want, depending on, you know, if you have a big deal like a new tax change, that would definitely jump up into the early months of the year. And you can, you know, plug and play. Just pull one out, stick another one in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, here's an interesting thought for you. Every month you do this, you'll have created a template for your own purposes and also for the client. So what you might do is build a folder, whether it's a virtual folder in the computer or a folder, an actual folder of each of these topics. So this time next year, when it's time to discuss whatever the topic happens to be, you can pull out the folders and look at what you did the year before, update it, and then send it out to the client. Let's say it's a brochure on long-term care. And so you gather all this information, you get all the education, you get the names of the people you're calling ahead of time to update you on your skills on long-term care, plus who are the companies that we sell long-term care for, et cetera, getting quotes and that sort of thing. I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well keep it in one place. Then when you pull it out next year for long-term care or the year after, things will have changed, but you'll have your template. So just on an organization point of view, probably a pretty good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
I'm assuming, you know, this is a general agenda, but I'm assuming if we're doing the 12-4-2, you know, we're also doing the review every quarter in addition to a conversation that may include one of these topics.
That's right. That's right.
Okay.
You know, and a lot of clients, you got to be prepared. You know that. Clients are going to say, so how am I doing? You know, so you need to know that every time. You don't have to go a full review, but they're going to be curious, how am I doing? So you got to be able to answer that. That shouldn't be the topic, but that needs to be, you know, there if they're interested. Things on the agenda can be as diverse as, you know, all the gifting, right? A client is going to do some gifting when they get to a certain age and a certain wealth. They're going to either gift to their children or they're going to gift to an institution, church or their university or something. So when do they do that? When is that convenient and when is the right time to do it? And does the stock market affect that, especially if they're giving securities? So I like the idea of, especially with wealthy people, when their university has a fiscal year and they've got an obligation to give them $100,000 a year for 5 years, that you hold that, you know, you put that on the calendar and leave it on there until that obligation is finished.
Okay.
And then even put in the date that they gave the money so that you help track that for them. Because I find that the difference between, there can be an occasion, a difference between what the client thinks they gave and what the university thinks they gave. And if you can help them to track that, that's a huge advantage for you as an advisor to them. And, you know, how much have they given to their children versus what they are allowed to give on a permanent basis, right? Before they have to pay an estate tax. So having that on there and whittling that away as they, as time goes on. Reminding them, I think, you know, as people get older, you know, it's wonderful to have somebody that is keeping track of things for them. And if you, and if they pay you $50,000 a year, you can afford to keep track of things like that for them. Okay?
Yep.
So anyway, and I also recommend that you have, especially since you've got these e-everythings, that maybe that's one topic is on there every month. Stick it on there. Just, you know, stick it on there. And if it doesn't come up, it doesn't come up. But for the most part, people will talk about it. You'll get a lot more done. And then you move on to the next topic. And then you can have one month as an administrative month, a month when, for example, you might be gone for 2 weeks on vacation. That can be an administrative call done by your someone else on your team that will talk about catching up on e-everything. And other things, and why that's convenient for them, why it would be much more convenient to have everything done electronically. And that's a big help to the client. And that takes a little of the burden off of you saying, hey, I'm gone for 2 weeks, what do we do? Well, you can make those, you know, those calls can be, they don't have to be long. They can be a 10-minute, you know, administrative call.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a I'm not calling you this month because I'm on vacation.
Right.
The other thing I think it teaches is if you really want to differentiate who does what on your team, that's a wonderful way to make it clear to the client that other people do things that you don't do, and those are the people to call for those things. All right. So I don't do the e-commerce things, but here's the person that does. And they'll set you all up. So that can be very helpful. Questions now. You guys have got to be kind of into it now, making the phone calls. Have you started making the calls and getting the time set up and all that?
Yes, we're in the process. Yep.
So what's the feedback?
Feedback?
It's positive, I would say. I mean, nothing negative. It's definitely going to be a change for some people. But the way I've been approaching it is it's a better change for them in the long term. Versus, it's just change is difficult for some people. So, you know, I think that's the only.
I think they're happy that it's going to be a. How do I want to say this? A higher degree of service. You know, there's, you know, the fact that we're, you know, touching them 12, 4, and 2, you know, it's definitely going to be a lot more contacts than what we've done in the past. And I think that's good. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, and the key is to, you know, I've heard people say, oh, that's pretty cookie cutter. Well, it's the exact opposite of that. It's very customized. So that's a good term to use. This is personalized and customized for you because it is.
Right.
You know, when you think, yeah, our structure is structured, but for you, we're personalizing everything about these calls. And yes, we'll talk about one topic every month or two that we focus on, like liability management. But that's going to be conversation. It's going to be customized for you about your situation. And it helps both of us to think about those things because they're not always top of mind. And
right.
There's a lot of things, yeah, a lot of things going on that are important. Changes in our industry and services that are available that you may not even know about. And it's terrific, you know. So
now, you know, we're gonna use this letter, you know, that
yep.
talks about, you know, we've decided to use a refined service model to include purposeful monthly contact. I'm thinking that maybe this calendar, this agenda for the first 12 months would be a good thing to include with that letter.
I think that'd be great. Brilliant.
Yeah. So.
And if you can determine what it is that their 12 contacts, when they will happen. Some people actually send that out also, so they can put it on their calendar ahead of time. It's a little bit of work, but it's up to you.
Okay. All right.
So that gets everybody well organized. Now you're going to send them a reminder. You're going to send them an agenda. So all of that will make them conscious of when the appointments are, but those, you know, all that can be pretty well done electronically, so you don't have to do a lot of other phone calls. And if they don't respond to them, then you can call them and just say reminding you, just like the dentist does or any other professional, reminding you of your call next Tuesday. If you can't make it, please let us know.
That can be done by an email, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think the more, you know, you want to use as much electronics as you can. Hopefully, you know, some of them will be using Outlook and you can actually send them an appointment that will populate Outlook and then have them confirm it. So that's great if you can do that.
Okay.
But here's what ends up happening. The good news is this. You, instead of having just 1242, you end up really with something that looks a lot more like 4842, meaning you're sending them an email reminding them of their appointment with the agenda, and maybe with an enclosure on long-term care or liability management or something. So that's one. You call them. You have your phone call. Then you send them an executive summary. So that's 36 contacts right there. And then, you know, maybe there's another one sometime during the month where you send them an update on the economy or something. So you're much closer to a 4842 than you are simply a 1242. Because here's the interesting thing. People with more than 5 million don't want 1242 anymore. They want 2442. They want more, twice a month. They want to be contacted.
Okay.
So it's pretty crazy, but we pretty much take care of that, particularly if we send an agenda, have the call, and then an executive summary. You're really crushing that number that they're looking for. So there's nobody's going to be doing more than you're doing anywhere for 50 million or 100 million or 2 million.
Rob, we have a couple clients, maybe a handful that have requested quarterly reviews in person. Do you think that could be an issue at all? I mean, I don't see how it could be, but it's a little more time.
No, it's fine. It's fine as long as they come in, and as long as you keep it to 50 minutes max.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's their time. You can do it on the phone. You can do it in person. You don't care. It's not taking you any longer.
Okay.
Because that's their time. And if they've got 10 million with you or 20 million or something, fine. You know, what I find is that when I've moved from where my financial advisor was to a different city, so it will be kind of rare for me I'll see him twice a year. I used to go in probably 3 times a year, 4 times a year and see them. But that's just because there was a lot going on, there's a lot of moving parts. But I can do it all on the phone, I can.
Yeah.
But I like, the two in-persons are important to maintain relationships and to, frankly, get introductions. The in-person makes them want to give you an introduction because it's such a nice thing to do. I mean, it's such a personal thing, meeting them in person. Did you notice that company used to be an annuity company, and now it's a kind of a full service.
Ameriprise?
Ameriprise, yeah. They said, their implication is that your financial advisor has never met you and wouldn't recognize you on the street if he fell over you. But it's different with Ameriprise. We recognize our people. I think that's very telling, all right? That they found a little weakness in our industry and they're going to exploit it, which is fine. That's what they should do. So I think that this is a brilliant supernova takes care of that, right? Because you're meeting them twice a year. So they can't beat you in that game.
Right.
Yeah. I watch all the ads just to see what they're trying to tweak. Edward Jones is, their thing is, we know you and we listen to you and we ask you what's on your mind. The implication is they're not sitting there trying to sell you something. They're trying to be your advisor, and that's also very powerful. So that's, I actually suggest always that when you have the agenda, that the first item on the agenda is client agenda. And that question, that, you start out that by either saying, we came here today with an agenda, but before we get to our agenda, let's talk about what's on your mind. What's on your agenda. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's a very, very powerful tool in your toolbox to be a coach. There's a book on coaching that I read, and the first thing they suggest doing is not opening your mouth about what's important to you. First thing as a coach you should do is to ask what is on the mind of the client. And that seems kind of obvious, but you'd be surprised how many people go right into their presentation. I would agree. I would agree with that. I think times the financial advisors don't listen and talk too much.
And I really, Jim, I recommend that you also do that in your prospecting. I mean, that's so important. Before you get started, find out what it is that's on their mind. What is it that you're looking for? What are you seeking here? And I don't think we ask enough questions before we go into who we are and why we're different. I think you got to build, you know that, you got to build the rapport and establish the relationship, but you got to find out what's going on in the client, the prospect's mind, and why are they there? Where's their pain? Where's their problem? And why are they seeking you out? But that's pretty obvious. But I think it goes back to that making sure and reminding ourselves be selling benefits, not features. Selling the benefit of what we're doing. Okay, that brings us pretty much to our time. The homework is to build your 24-month calendar and use it as we've discussed. So I think we covered that pretty well. Sounds like you guys are doing really well. I don't say that with a surprise. I congratulate you, but you're kind of further ahead than most teams I'm coaching at this stage. So is there a reason for that, or are you just like this, or what's the deal?
I'm not sure there's a reason. I think it's been a little more difficult, I'll be honest with you, than what I thought it might be. It's taking more time, time and effort. I think it'll pay off in the long run, but it most certainly is quite a change. So,
well, you seem to have gotten past the rationale. You seem to have gotten past in many cases, I'm still arguing with teams about, at this stage, about why this makes sense. I feel like it may be hard for you, but you've sort of gotten past that. And now you're into, okay, how do we do this? And that's clearly it makes it easier for me, but I think that there's, I think you get it. I think that it appears you get it anyway.
But
and
we're
that's
trying.
A good thing. By week six, if you get it, that's really good. You're doing terrifically. Because this is not easy. Think about it. You're doing a complete makeover of your business. And if you we do everything but change investments for you. I mean, we don't suggest anything about that. We don't really teach you how to do financial planning, but we do suggest you do it for every client. So other than that, we're asking you to pretty much change everything you've been doing up to this point structurally. And, up to now, you probably haven't been asked to change, more than one thing a year. And we're asking you to change pretty much every way you do things. So understand that's a lot of change, and that's a hard thing. So my tip of the hat to you guys is what I'm saying. Congratulations.
Okay. All right.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Have a good day. Anybody have any other questions before we go, before we let them? Were we good? All right, I think we're good. Thank you.
Good, thanks. Bye.
Have a good day.